This is the Sports Illustrated Boxing Podcast.
It's boxing.
A look inside boxing with Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix. Interviews, analysis, and everything going on in boxing. And now a man who I wish was called the Boston Bleeder.
All doctors to the ER.
It's sort of like getting punched in the face.
Chris Mannix.
All right, joining me now on the show is one of the greatest fighters in the history of boxing. One of the great heavyweights of all time, a Hall of Famer, you name them. He's fought them during his professional boxing career. And he may not be done with boxing, which is something that I would like to talk to him about. The great Evander Holyfield joining me here on the show. Evander, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So I want to get into the latest kind of back and forth with you and Mike Tyson, a fighter you're very familiar with. But I want to first ask, how are you doing during all this pandemic and, you know, what's going on in the world today?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm doing well. You know, I'm kind of house person in a way.
So no change if you're a house guy, I guess. All right. So, you know, a lot of people, Evander, that know your history with Mike Tyson know about the two fights in the 1990s, the bite fight, all those things. But your history with Mike goes back a lot longer than that, right? I mean, were you teammates in 84? I mean, when did you first get to know Mike Tyson?
Right, in 84, you know, we were both on the losing squad. That's how tough amateur boxing was there in the 80s. You know, Mike and I was on a losing team, and we had to win two fights to make the Olympic team. I was able to do it, and he was not.
So what does the losing team mean? I mean, it's funny listening to two Hall of Famers on the losing team. That's how good it must have been.
Well, meaning that, you know, at that time you had great amateur fighters. You know, if like I guess in a light heavyweight division. You know, it kind of changed up by every year. Somebody else beat somebody. Like that. It was just a tough crop of people at that time. Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned that light heavyweight. Back then, you were a light heavyweight. Mike Tyson was a heavyweight. I mean, in 1984, were you even thinking at that time, you know, maybe this is someone I can fight down the line?
Well, you know, my goal was even at 65 pounds was to be the heavyweight champ of the world. I was told at, you know, at 8 years old, I could be the heavyweight champ of the world. And so, you know, that was my goal. And you know, it was surprising that when I went from 147 to 56, then 65, then 78, I started growing after high school. Mm.
Did you know that your body at that point would get, I mean, look, you might be able to get to, you know, high 190s, even 200, but did you think you would be able to grow naturally into a heavyweight?
Well, you know, the art of what my coach told me when I was a kid, he said, it's not how big the guy is, it's can you box? You know, if you know, even when I was 139 pounds, I sparred with heavyweight. He said, only advantage they got if you stay there too long. Mm-hmm. Get yours and move. And so, you know, the art of the game, if you can box, then you can stay in there. You just can't stand toe-to-toe with the guy.
Were you friendly with Mike back then? I mean, how close were the fighters on those teams?
I was very close, very close. And Mike and I, we were friends, and we did spar one time. And the difference is that he was 17 and I was 21. And so, you know, when you talking about someone that's 21, somebody 17, it's a big difference for confidence and knowledge.
So when you sparred with a 17-year-old version of Mike Tyson, what did you think?
Well, you know, I definitely knew he was a good puncher because he was knocking everybody out. Mm. So Mike was the only person that had to have – he had to pay people to come in to spar with him, you know. But the fact of the matter, he had to pay people to come in. Now, we didn't have to pay nobody because, you know, we weren't nobody. But somehow he was knocking sparring partners out, you know, with 16-ounce gloves. So, you know, that's what, you know, and that was different. He was a puncher. He was a puncher, and he was very aggressive. But, you know, I'm a guy that tend to fight people who are aggressive very well.
Yeah, history shows that. Did Mike Tyson at 17 try to knock you out?
Well, he did what he did, but they stopped it because they said somebody was going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so an Olympic coach came and stopped it and all this. And you know, Mike was like, wow. And telling people, said, he's skinny, but he's strong, like that. And so I used to spar the heavyweight and the super heavyweights all the time anyway. So I was the guy that I sparred with Henry Tillman a lot and Tyrell Big. You know, I sparred with all the big guys and stuff like that. I never did spar with people in my same weight division.
So how many rounds did you guys go back then?
Oh, they stopped in about a minute, 30 seconds, said somebody gonna get hurt. And at that time, you know, I had him in the corner and he couldn't get out. So, but you know, people were asking me, I said, well, it's just different. But who gonna talk about you 21 and you sparring at 17 years old and you know, which was good. He was very good back then. But the point is, when nothing to talk about, it ain't never spark. And so, you know, I'm to neither one of us, you know, not the rep, the coach, the Olympic coach just stopped it. He said, somebody gonna get hurt like this. And I knew I wasn't gonna get hurt.
So 90 seconds, that's that before the coach said enough. Enough of the.
Yeah, he stopped it because he just stopped it. When nobody hurt, you know, but I had him in the corner.
The before you got to your two fights with Tyson, you were supposed to fight him after he fought Buster Douglas. It was Buster Douglas, then it was supposed to be Evander Holyfield. What do you remember about Douglas versus Tyson? It was a fight over in Japan, but were you watching it live? What do you remember about that night?
I was there.
Oh, you were there.
I was in Japan, and we... You know, the Duvas kept me there to see the fight. And everybody was talking about what Tyson going to do to Buster Douglas. And I told him, I said, I seen Buster Douglas fight. I said, I seen him with just one jab and knock a guy out. I said, Buster Douglas was good. And somehow I was wondering why they were saying, you know, Mike Atch is not a big guy. And then Buster Douglas is a mountain of a guy. And, you know, I'm talking, you know, it was seen that somebody had to say, you know, why would you put him in there with that big old guy? But I have seen Tyson knock big guys out. But I knew that Buster Douglas had a good jab. And Buster Douglas, he dropped by three or four people with just a straight left hand. I was like, and he was skillful. I was like, he could box. And he was 6'5". And he got 801 inch, and Mike Tyson 74 inch. And so, you know, it was going to be a hard night for Mike anyway until he get a chance to hit him. But somehow he did hit him, but Buster Douglas got back up and stayed on him and, you know, eventually won the fight.
Was there a point when you're watching that fight, Evander, where you're like, okay, Mike could be in some real trouble? Was there a point during the fight that you thought that?
I thought that the whole fight because Buster was he was using the jab real well. And, you know, Mike caught him with a shot and dropped it. And he hit the mat and he got back up and, you know, and he continued to use the jab. And, you know, and eventually he caught Mike with a good shot.
Were you disappointed at the outcome? You eventually went on to fight Buster Douglas, but I mean, you wanted Mike Tyson. How disappointed were you?
I wasn't disappointed. The art of the game was whoever wins, that's who I was going to fight. And so, you know, my whole thing wasn't to fight Mike, wasn't to fight Buster Douglas. I wasn't chasing Mike. I wasn't chasing Buster Douglas. I was chasing the champion. Mm-hmm. Whoever the champ is, that's it. And a lot of people were asking me, said, oh, man, you lost a lot of money. I said, what you mean? I said, no, my goal was to be the champion. I just want to fight the champion. I want to be the heavyweight champion of the world just like everybody else wanted to be. That's it. It wasn't about chasing people. You know, whatever it takes, I was going to do what's necessary to become a world champion.
But was there any part of you that wanted to take that zero to be the one to beat Mike Tyson?
No. My own thing, I just wanted to be the heavyweight champion of the world. But I also wanted to be the very best that I could be. And so, you know, and my mama had already told me and said, one thing about the people who are the best, you can't wish them away. They're going to always be there. And so, you know, Mike, you know, he, after that, he became champion again.
You just, in your fight with Douglas, you beat him up. You knocked him out early in that fight, third round, I believe. What did you do differently? What was different about your fight that was different with Mike's?
Well, I think that Buster Douglas took me for granted, you know, because even the press conference, he was so happy to fight me. And it would seem like you would be happy to go back and fight Mike because you'll make more money. But he didn't want to come back and fight Mike. He wanted to come back and fight me. And so, you know, I was happy that he honored to fight me, but he told me that, you know, he told me these guys that I fought was easy. And I realized that he probably didn't know I really can box. And, you know, and I know I can hit hard too. But a lot of time people think that I could. But the art of the game was to, my mama said, be quiet and show what you can do when you get in the ring. And so when it came to that fight, you know, he tried to hit me with an uppercut, and that was it. Right hand down the middle.
Right. If people haven't seen that punch, that was a great punch. Right hand down the middle after Douglas whiffed on that uppercut, and you just clobbered him and put him down for the rest of the night. So, you know, your career kind of goes forward after that. Mike has his legal problems. He goes to jail. How quickly after he got out of prison did you start thinking, all right, this is gonna happen. I'm gonna fight Mike Tyson at some point.
No, I never did look at it that. The fact of the matter, I just lost a fight again to Reddit Boat, and you know, and the third fight, and so in the point of me losing that fight, then I had to fight Bobby Chess. I didn't do real well in that fight. Then all of a sudden, Tyson didn't want to fight me. And somebody had said that Don Keene had said, Evander got 1 foot in the graveyard and one on banana peeling. And told Mike, this is your time to get it. And because everybody was trying to say that I had a heart problem. And said, I didn't have no heart problem. You know, the fact of the matter, I was over-medicated, and that was it. But, and Mike and I fought, and I won the first one. Then, of course, in the second one, you know, I won that one.
You're one of the great students of the game, Evander. You study your opponents before you fight them. And I think that's always given you an edge over some other fighters of your generation. When you were preparing to fight Mike Tyson for the first time in 96, did you see a difference in him? I mean, he was fighting the Seldons and the Peter McNeelys and other guys. Did you see a difference in Mike than the one you were scouting, you know, years ago as you were thinking about fighting him?
Of course. You know, whatever your competition is, that can take you up or it can take you down. And so, you know, he was accustomed to hitting people and the people wasn't hitting back. So, you know, so the whole big thing, even in one of the press conferences, people were asking, what do you think? I said, but I tell you what, I said, everybody already know I get hit all the time, but I do hit back. So I said, you know, we'll see when I start hitting him back. Now I said, I know he gonna hit me. I said, but I know I can take it. Now, can he take what I get? And that was the whole art of the game, is just Like, you know, I knew he was a great fighter, and I realized it's going to take everything that I need to put pressure on him, but I wasn't going to back up. And because I didn't back up, I was able to win the fight.
You obviously don't know how hard a guy hits till you get in the ring with him, but up until that point, you had fought big punchers like Foreman, like Riddick Bowe. I mean, guys that could crack. When Mike hit you for the first time, what was your reaction? Did you think like, all right, I can take this shot, or was it stronger than you thought?
Well, you know, the thing was not to, you know, when you're a fighter, you don't think about the shot you got hit with. Only thing that you know, you only get hit when you make a mistake. So, and the mistakes you make, if you're going to hit the guy or you're going to move. So, either you're going to move or you're going to get hit if you don't swing. And so, and that what happened. So, when you get shot, when I get hit with that shot, I realized I was wrong. So, I should have been a move or I should have hit him. Because when you hit people, they don't actually get a chance to hit you back a lot of times. Unless you throw a combination. And I was the guy that threw combination. Now, that might hit me. Now, I'm going to hit him with combination. So when he go back, he's going to remember that. He's going to remember the last shot I hit him with. Because every time in the fight, is the purpose was me to get the last punch. If I get the last punch, then he go back thinking about how hard I hit him. Mm-hmm. And not that I go back thinking about how hard he hit me. So I made sure that every round, the last punch, I was going to hit him with the last punch because I wanted him to think about what I was doing.
Was that your strategy with every fight, or was that specific to Mike Tyson?
Well, you know, in general, yeah, every fight. My whole thing is I had fast hands, and especially when I fought the heavyweights, they hit a lot harder, and they – you know, they were stronger. So the thing is hit them two or three times to one, and where I can know that I'm always leading. Because if you get behind, you know, people tend to make mistakes. When you get behind and try and you rush yourself, then that's when you start running into big shots. Mm.
So when that first fight ends, Evander, do you know right after, like, there's going to be an immediate rematch?
With Mike and I?
Yes.
Well, no, because you know, it was something that I did in that fight. I had in my contract that I can quit at any time. So you know, so even when we did this fight, they already had a rematch clause in there. But even though they had that rematch clause, I said I always wanted put something in there where I can quit at any given time. So they already negotiated what the second fight was going to be if I won. But I remember telling Don King, do Mike know that I may win this fight? Because I kind of felt that if Mike knew that, he wouldn't fight me. So he might fight fights that he know he going to win. So I said, Don King said, no, you're going to sign this rematch clause. So I signed the rematch clause. But I also put in the contract that I can quit at any given time. And they said, okay. So I fought, I won. So when the fight was over, when they said rematch, I said, no, I quit. And so everybody wanted to know why I was quitting because I know what the money amount that I was going to get next fight, and I wasn't going to get no money at all. So I quit. And so for me to come back, they had to do a new contract. And so then we fought the sack one, and, you know, I was happy about what I got, and Tyson was happy what he had.
So you get into that ring in the second fight, and before the whole bite incident happens, was it going a lot like the first fight? Were there differences?
It was a big difference. The second fight, he tried to box me. He stayed on the outside. which allowed me to use my reach. And now I was on the, he wouldn't get no punches at that time. I was hitting with these clean punches, and I knew why he wanted to get out of there, because it was just real simple. He would fight my style of fight then. He was standing out. He was trying to think about when he was trying to think about it. I had to reach in, and every time he moved in, I would just get the best.
Mm. Yeah, no question. And when you get to those later rounds, and the first time you feel that tug on your ear, can you just describe for me what you felt in that moment?
Well, you really don't have to. You know how I jumped. He bit me on my ear, and it was something that you never thought of happened. You know, nobody never thinks somebody gonna bite their ear. And plus, even when they showed the tape, and you can see me, you know, it's how strong your neck is. When we get close to each other, we kind of lean our head like this. And seemed like I'd lean my ear right into his mouth. He bit my ear, man, and I remember just how mad I was and how upset I was. And, and I realized that I was gonna bite him back. But in the point of me knew that I was gonna bite him back, my corner guy named Tim Hallmark, because this prophet had told us in the match that this guy gonna do something to you, and you know, and for me not to lose my cool and all that, he told me to keep my mind on the Lord. And so I told my trainer Tim Hallmark to remind me if that do happen, and he kept a calling and telling me keep your mind on the Lord. I didn't want to keep my mind on the Lord. I wanted to bite him back. Then all of a sudden, it came across my mind what my grandmama said. They always catch the person who do it the second time. So I decided not to bite him back. And he bit me again.
He bit you again.
Yeah, he bit me again. Then Emil Vane, he stopped the fight and all that. And so when all said and done, because I kind of felt because I did the right thing, I actually think that it saved boxing. I truly believe if I would have did what I wanted to do, I was gonna bite him right there in that face like this. And you know, and I told Mike that, and he said, You really will? I said, I will. I said, but Tim kept hollering, said, keep your mind on the Lord. And I thought about that. What would probably have happened to the game of boxing, the two best fighters biting each other, goring each other, and you know, the game may be over. We ain't be talking about the game now.
Oh, it's a great point, because it's one thing if Mike bites you and you know people look at him like he's crazy, but if you had bit him back and it turned into this like ugly, just mess of a fight, yeah, you're right. Boxing would have really suffered. Instead, you came out of it looking calm, cool, collected, even though, like you said, you wanted to bite the guy back.
Yeah, so I tell people, regardless how good you are, it's that temperament. There was a chance I would have bit it back if the fight would have kept going. We both came from the ghetto, and the things that we were taught all our whole life, if somebody do it to you, do it bad, do it back, and do it worse. You know, I need to do it harder, you know. And that's pretty much what came to my mind. My whole thing was always, you know what, I ought to get it like this. But you know, you're adults, and you're supposed to change your mindset. You're supposed to change your concept of the mind for how you use the thing. And you know, so sometimes people get you angry enough that it pops back up in your head sometimes.
How long did it take you to realize just the kind of damage that he did? I mean, he didn't just bite you. He bit off a piece of your ear. I mean, did you know that right away?
It's just a little piece, but you know what? It really didn't bother me. By time after the fight, I was the one that everybody in my locker room, Everybody in my locker room was upset, mad. And I said, no, we're going to have to forgive him. And everybody said, man, no, we ain't going to forgive him. I said, look, he didn't bite you. He bit me. I said, look, we're going to forgive. I didn't want no controversy. I didn't want to be fighting over something that, you know, I have done. Even what he had done, I was able to put off this thing and forgive it. And that's it. And I want to just, okay, this is part of life, folks. You know, if people continue to get each other back, I'm saying there wouldn't be nobody living. Because everybody did somebody wrong at some point in time. Somebody got to forgive. So I decided to forgive.
Well, you're a better man than most to have that attitude in the immediate aftermath of something like that. I mean, one of the, before I get to Tyson now and you and him, one of the things that people have been able to do during this pandemic is watch a lot of old boxing. I know I've done it, and I've watched back almost all of your old fights. And man, like, you know, whether it was the first fights or rematches or trilogies that you were in some great, great fights. Is there a fight that you look back on where it like almost still hurts? Like when you think about just what kind of war you went to in that fight, where it's like, man, when you think to yourself, maybe I do not want to do that again.
Well, my first fight with Dwight Muhammad Quawe, it was a 15-round fight. I only had been 8 rounds one time. And it was my 12th professional fight. And somehow, I don't know how, they got me to get into that fight. You know, because conscious-wise, I didn't really want to do it. But, you know, in that fight, I realized, you know, if I don't take this championship fight, I may not never get another one. So, even though it was just my 12th professional fight, I went ahead and did it. And then they put me under a lot of pressure by allowing me to fight in Atlanta. So, when I remember they were talking about the fight, and I was on a radio show, and I heard somebody in my family talking on the radio saying they put him in there too early. And I knew that was one of my sisters. And so she didn't believe I could win, you know. And, you know, I was kind of like, I didn't let them know that I knew that was my sister. Saying they put him in there too early. They shouldn't have put him in there. This on his 12th fight, that guy would have been in the prison. That guy, you know, kind of felt bad for you to know that one of your family members, being truthful, didn't believe you can do it. But I beat it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the whole good thing about life, because regardless of what people believe you can do it or not, it's up to you at the end to push towards that situation. And I was able to do that, and that's, you know, the joy that I tell people. I said, a lot of people got opinions, but what is up to the fighter himself?
I saw you did an interview at one point where you said something like, nobody beat me like George Foreman. What was it about the Foreman fight that was so tough?
Well, he's the only guy I ever fought that I couldn't move. Lennox Lewis taller and all this and stuff, but I ain't have no problem moving Lennox Lewis. I couldn't even budge George Foreman. And he hit so hard that you realize that you don't want to get hit with that shot. You know, he changed up his speed sometimes. He goes slow then, and all of a sudden he'll throw the big one. And I was fortunate enough to miss all of them. I got hit one time in the mouth. I guess I felt that my teeth were knocked out, all my teeth knocked out. I came back and asked him, did he knock all my teeth out? They said, no, ain't nothing wrong. And they said it so quick. So they didn't even take time to find out yet. And it appears to me they just didn't want me to quit. And end up winning the fight. But he was a big puncher.
Yeah, no question. So, you know, a lot of people – have been talking about Tyson since those videos surfaced in the last month or so. You've talked now about potentially getting back in the ring with Tyson, some kind of charity-based thing. When did you start thinking about doing something with Tyson? Was it when these videos came up, or was it even before this?
Well, the thing is that, you know, I'm that type of person. I try not to have the bully mentality. And I think the bully mentality is when you know you're better than somebody and you go ask them, let's fight again. Now, so I would never ask him to fight again because of the fact that I don't want to fight. So, you know, I'd rather ask Reddy Bow, because Reddy Bow beat me 2 times out of 3. Now, that's how I am because I'm not being a bully. I'm going against somebody who got one up on me. Maybe it'd be easy for him to come in than for me to fight somebody I know I beat twice. And so I never even think about Tyson. But it just so happened I was training, he was training, his video came up in training, somebody filmed me and mine came up. And they said, what would happen to both these guys? And with me, I said, well, you know, I don't mind if he wanted to do it, but I'm not going to be the one to say, let's do it. Because that's kind of bully mentality. You didn't do it because you believe you could beat it. Well, you know, I wouldn't go in the ring with nobody I didn't think I could beat anyway. Nothing best to me. I just wouldn't, because that's just part of, you know, my mama said, don't ever get beat by a reputation. And that practical, and I was the youngest of 9 in my family. So, you know, I got beat up a lot by my brothers and sisters. So, but my mama said, don't get beat up by a reputation. And I said, you know, hey, train hard, work hard, don't quit.
So when it comes to Tyson, like, what do you want to do? Like, what would a fight between Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson look like right now?
Well, I'm not for sure because I don't know how good a shape he is, and I don't know what he's done to his body. I know that I always stay in shape. It's part of my life. It's part of my life and a part of things that I want to be able to share with the younger kids and my foundation. Talk to the younger kids by telling me if you take care of your body at a young age, then when you get older, you'll be able to do some things other people won't be able to do. And it's just a part of life. You don't pick up other people's bad habits. Everybody got bad habits, but you don't want to pick up other people's bad habits.
So you're talking about like a fight with headgear, without headgear, 6 rounds, 10 rounds. I mean, what kind of thing would you want to do if you could choose?
Well, an exhibition. My whole thing, I want something where that it won't be no decision. And just, you know, look, we're doing an exhibition, you know? And so whatever game he bring, I bring the same thing. You know, so whatever way that it turned out that it won't be a decision, but you know, we give our very best to who we are as people.
So do you think this is going to happen? I mean, have you been talking to Tyson? I mean, has anybody around you been talking to Tyson's team? I mean, how likely is this?
Well, it's a good chance. It's the people on it. See, everything is about the people. The people kind of stir it up because, you know, no one just doing it for free. So, you know, it's what the people want. And, you know, it's what the people get for what they want.
What happens if in an exhibition like this, Tyson tries to bite your ear again?
Well, I don't think he would do that. I think Tyson changed a lot. He changed a lot. It is. It is what it is.
What if you went in with like big, like Dumbo ears, just like, you know, for just to give him an easy target?
When I think of when my own thing, I think about that situation because everybody looks at, hey, man, you put your ear in his mouth. Now, his mouth was open. You put your, you put your head that way. And I said, you know, it do look like I did do that. I said, but, you know, I said, it bit me twice, though. I was done with him 10,000 because he did it twice.
First time might have been a mistake. Second time, no way.
Well, you're right. That's it. But, you know, we got over it, and, you know, we cool about it.
Hey, you guys were recently, you and Lennox and Tyson were all at the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight, right? You were all there together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like to be kind of reunited with those two?
Well, it showed me this, you know, in that era from, you know, 1980, 84 to 2000, you know, you had about seven champions, seven people became the world champion. It was amazing that everybody liked Ali. Everybody was kind of inspired by Ali, and everybody became champion. And so, you know, that's a great thing, which show you how good that era was and how good amateur boxing was back in those days. I think when you take care of the young kids and invest in them, the young kids, the one that allow you to have these great memories later on.
Yeah, no question. It was a great era for amateur boxing. You know, so many great fighters, yourself included in that mix. Evander, good luck to you, man. I hope it happens. I think it'd be kind of fun to see the two of you share a ring one more time for charity, exhibition. Good luck, man, and thanks for joining me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for this week's episode. My thanks to my guests. As always, subscribe to the podcast over at Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, you know I appreciate it, and I'll see you next week.